Have your Bibles. I want to invite you to Judges chapter 11. We have moved on with Gideon. Not because chapter 10 is 9 and 10 is not important. They are. There's some great lessons there. But this were before I went to Gideon, I was actually studying the life of Jephthah, and that's what I want to look at tonight. Just briefly, not give you everything about his life. But it's good chapters. In chapter number 9, we see what happened in Gideon's family. It was a tragedy. In chapter 10, what's amazing about that chapter, there's some folks that are somewhat not famous. Well, you wouldn't consider them famous at all. They would be, if you had major and minor judges, they would probably be the minor judges. Although there's not a whole lot said about them because their military exploits wasn't as great as, say, Gideon and Jephthah and Deborah and Barak. One thing you have to give them credit for was the fact that while they ruled and while they led the people didn't go into error. And sometimes we look just at the heroic end and kind of pass over some of those that are somewhat unnamed. And sometimes if people don't hear of you, that's a good thing, okay? And not a lot of bad things going on in your life. And so, but I do want to look tonight at the life of Jephthah, and I want to speak on this, the calling of a reject. Calling of a reject. The Bible tells us in, and I'll have to wear my Mr. Potato Head glasses, so you'll have to apologize. I'll apologize ahead. I did make my way to Walmart. I sat there for about 20 minutes, picked out glasses. That's a terrible thing to have to pick out glasses. And in the process of picking out glasses, I sat down. We went through everything. She said, "You got your prescription." I did. I didn't realize they viewed those prescriptions like they were something like a medicine. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm going to overdose on a pair of glasses. Okay? She said, "Honey, we can't get this. This is out of date. This is about a year and a half out of date." I said, "It'll still work." I mean, she said, "I know it, but we're not allowed to do that by law." Now, I was sitting there thinking, I know this ain't this woman's fault, but there's some dumb politician somewhere along the way. Say amen, that's what happened. So now I got to go get a prescription. So until then, I'm just going to look goofy. I'm really not ashamed. Anyway, there you go. The calling of a reject. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was a son," notice this, "of an harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him. And it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come, be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when you are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. And Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We are thankful that this is not just a story that was written as a fairy tale,
But it's an historic account of a man who was rejected, a man who was despised, a man that the world didn't have a use for, but a man that somehow found the ability in the face of all the adversity of his life to be faithful. And God, when they needed to be a hero, You used this man. God, I'm thankful today that You call people that we would never think of. I'm thankful, God, that You don't look past people. God, You see what's in their heart. And I pray today that we would listen to this message, and I pray we understand that God can use every single person in here, regardless of the mistakes, regardless of the past, regardless of any difficulty they've experienced. God, You're able to take something that's broke, something that needs to be disposed of, and make it usable and make it valuable once again. Lord, we praise You for this time tonight. I thank You for everybody that's here. And I pray the Word of God would meet needs tonight. I pray that it would feed hungry souls and challenge the saints. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Two things you learn through the book of Judges is pretty clear to me. That mankind has a hard time ever learning the lessons of life well. How many times we find that cycle? That as soon as there wasn't a judge, the rules, a strong leadership, they fell right back in the same pattern of sin and rebellion, accepting of being very tolerant of other gods. And when trouble came, they looked to God. That happens in America, yet today we get very accepting and pluralistic in our society, and as a result, I believe we have rejected God, and until God really drastically gets our attention, we don't look to Him. Second thing I believe is this. Not only do we not learn our lessons well, but God never completely forsakes His children, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful He's a patient, patient God. And, you know, there's a lot of people that God loves, God saved, and I believe they'll get into heaven saved just so as by fire. What a shame. Have no crown to present on the day that we present them to the Lord. I believe that we all ought to be doing everything we can to live for the Lord. I don't want to go into heaven, as my grandpa used to say, by the skin of your teeth. I mean, I want to make sure I'm in. Amen. I know I'm in by the blood of the Lamb, but I just don't want to just barely, when I go in, I want my life to make a splash here upon earth. We're looking at a man in this text who was a reject when it came to everybody in society. He was a reject that we'll find who became a ruler in the land. Jephthah was a man who was a social outcast. He was a man without a home. He was without a family. And ultimately, let me say this about him. He really had no future, yet because of God's grace, he became somebody. You see, I want you to understand today that anybody that's anybody is because of what God's done in their life. That's it. It's simple. And he became a somebody. That's what God can do to a bunch of nobodies. He can make a somebody out of them. And so Jephthah was a mixture, if you say, the entirety of his life, of a man who was a spiritual man, but also a very fleshly man at times. He made some silly decisions. And I see that in the life of David. There's a lot of similarities between him and David. And probably the reason people loved David was the reason people loved Jephthah. You'll find that he was able to capture the heart of the people that was also rejected, the people that was despised and the outcast. They were the people that flocked around Jephthah. And may I remind you, when David was an outcast, when David was running from Saul, you'll find that he had his mixed multitude with him. He had the people that the world had kind of looked away from, the world had discarded. They surrounded themselves around the leadership of David. And very similar with Jephthah, this happened. And so God somehow chooses to use this man in spite of his faults. I'm thankful God uses us in spite of our faults. Because if I couldn't be used because of my faults, I'd be in trouble. I might as well quit now, and so should you. And so what we find is that God is always so amazing in what He can do with the smoking flax. Is instead of Jesus' ministry, smoking flax did not quench and a bruised reed did not break. I'm thankful for a patient God that doesn't discard what others consider is unusable or useless, but rather looks to those things to bring Him glory. The first thing I want you to notice is His rejection tonight in the first three verses. The Bible says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor." Notice that. tells us about this man. He was a mighty man of valor. This tells us something about this man's character. And I like the fact that this is labeled first rather than his flaws or perceived flaws that the world saw. You'll find that it says, what does it mean by mighty man? That means he was great in bravery, that he was powerful. He was a man that had, not only was he great and powerful and vigilant, but the Bible says he was a mighty man of, notice this, valor. What's that mean? It means he was a man of strength. And this is not speaking of physical strength, probably was, but it does speak of the fact that his strength of character, he had integrity, he was efficient with everything that he did in life. Listen, he was going to do the right thing regardless what everybody else was going to do. That's the type. He was a mighty man of valor. I want you to understand, he was one of these men who would not run. I mean, he was a type that would not back down. In fact, if we were going to get in a fight with a bunch of thugs, we'd want Jephthah on our side. Tell a story. I had a cousin one time. We were about 13 or so, and we was at the mall, and I don't remember what happened. Some boys were older, and they were picking on us, throwing popcorn at us, and I just turned around and said, "We'll meet you out in the hallway, and this is over with." And my cousin Anthony, "Well, we'll get them. We'll get them." And I go out there standing, I'm talking, they were three of them, if I remember, and I'd give them a mouthful. I said, "Listen, we're going to lay a," I didn't say smackdown, but we're going to whoop you. And I cleaned that up a little bit from what I probably said at that time, but I remember saying that. And they said, "Who's we?" And I looked around, Anthony was gone. I didn't find him for about 30 minutes later after I run away from them boys. So I know sometimes it's better to run, amen? And I finally see him, said, "Where was you at?" He said, "Man, I had to really use the bathroom." Well, he wasn't Anthony there. Jephthah was a different character. He'd had you back, okay? He'd probably come out swinging first. And so Jephthah was there. He was a mighty man of valor, the Bible tells us. And he was willing to take a stand. But notice this, what it says about his history here. And he was the son of a harlot. Just pointed out. See, I believe people want to look. You know, so regardless of what you do in life, sometimes people want to remember the bad things, right? Regardless of how you've changed and where you've gone and where you come from, people want to look back and say, "Yeah, but this guy did this. Yeah, but this guy was that." And they constantly look back and want to drag up the things that are not so wonderful about your life. And so we find that in the Scriptures. And he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And we find this. Listen, I want you to understand, everybody in their life, if we must make a plus column and a minus column, guess what? There's nobody's life in here is going to be filled with just pluses. You're going to have some minuses in there too. My life, your life, every life I know is going to have some pluses and some minuses. But the biggest mistake that we ever make in the world, because somebody has some minuses, is that they are a zero with God. And that's what the people did, and his own brethren did. You'll find that they made his exit here. And the Bible says that Gilead's wife bare sons, and his wife's sons, they grew up, and notice they thrust out Jephthah. Don't you reckon that was probably hard on him? I believe this probably broke his heart. And they said, "Thou shalt not inherit thy father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." Let's just be honest. Listen, you're not really what this was, a part of our father's fleeing. You're the result of our father's sin. You're the result of our father's immorality. The reason you're here in this world is because daddy didn't have character at that very moment. And they took it out on Jephthah. And the Bible said, then Jephthah fled. He fled. I believe he wanted to get away because he's hurt. He's hurt. You know what? Regardless where he come from, and I've learned this with children, and I don't care what their parents and the mistakes they made, they're still children. Huh? And they still view those kids as their brothers, their sisters, and that man as their dad. And could you imagine the pain that this went through? You know what a lot of people would have did? A lot of people would have just went the wrong direction. A lot of people would have used this as an excuse for every type of immorality and perhaps even to follow in his father's footsteps and become a rebel himself. Now, Jephthah wasn't a perfect man. We'll see that later on. But the truth of the matter was, I tell you, he had more character than those of his own family. And so we see here his history, and we see his exit, and we see that his parents didn't do what is right. And in Exodus 34, in verse 7, the Bible says this, when Moses was to recopy the Ten Commandments, he says, "Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon their children's children, unto the third and the fourth generation." Now, here's the truth of the matter. God doesn't punish me because of my dad's sin. But I tell you what does happen. Sometimes I have to bear the fruit of my father's sin. And so it was with Jephthah. Now, I want you to understand, the things you do can make an impact upon the lives of your children and their children. And you see, we find here that he makes this exit, and he has his own family reject him. Guess what? David had his own family reject him. But I want to say this to you. You don't have to get hung up in the cycle of what your family was in the past. And Jephthah chose, I'll not be that man. I'll not be remembered for this. And you'll find his friends very interesting. And Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered unto him vain men. Vain men. And you say, what's that mean? Vain men. And Jephthah went out with them. In fact, when it says he went out with them, it means that they made raids. In fact, that's how it's translated sometimes, that they went out and made raids. Who were they making raids against? They were making raids against the Ammonites, the enemies of the people of Israel. You know what happened when David, when Saul was pursuing him and he had no home and he was fled away from his brethren and chased from place to place? David made raids against the Philistines, the enemies of God's people. He engaged the enemy. Now I want you to get this picture. Even though everybody rejected him and even though he was considered a social outcast, the easiest thing for him to have done is just to wallow in his own sin, feel sorry for himself, and engage in things that he shouldn't do, maybe even join himself to the enemy, as many people do in this world. When they have a heartache or a difficulty, they join themselves to the enemies of this world, not Jephthah. Jephthah engaged the enemy, and he fought the enemy. Tells me he had some characters. He went after them. It wasn't that he, and by the way, he didn't make the mistake. He didn't come confused. He still had the moral clarity to realize his real enemies wasn't his brethren or brethren that rejected him, but the enemies of his brothers. And so he raided them. But the Bible says, notice this, that they were vain men. You know what that means? It meant that they were worthless men. Why were they considered worthless? Probably because they were empty. They were probably unemployed. They probably didn't own land. They were men that in the world's eyes were useless individuals. That's pretty harsh, isn't it? Why in the world would they run to him? I'll tell you why. They probably got in that situation in their life, listen to this, because of some difficulty. And a lot of people don't understand other people's difficulty. They'd rather judge somebody's difficulty as to try to listen to somebody's difficulty. Jephthah was an individual that understood their difficulty. Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. He was one that those men could identify with, but not only identify with, they could look to him to give them some type of purpose and meaning in their life. So these men rallied behind Jephthah, and he made them something better than they would have been if they were left alone. Jephthah was that mighty man of valor. And in that essence, may I say to you, acted much like King David did. And there come a day, though, after years and years, and the Bible says in the process of time, the children of Ammon made war against Israel. They come and made war against the people of God. Here's Jephthah that's been excluded. Jephthah's not looking for anything. He's without a family. He's without a home and what people consider a future, but he just keeps doing what he ought to be doing and engaging the enemies of the people of God, even though he's not really being recognized by it. But may I say to you, God was preparing Jephthah so that the people of Israel might have a leader. And you know what happened? When that day came, they didn't go to him because of any spiritual reason. They didn't cry out to God and say, "God, be merciful." They knew that there was a man in the land who was willing to stand up and take the fight to the enemy. So they go to Jephthah, and they come to Jephthah, the very ones, I want you to understand this, the very ones that said, you're the result of harlotry. They said, you're really not part of our lineage. You're not our brother. But when difficulty come, the tides change, you'll find what happened was, the Bible tells us in verse number 4, when this process of time, by the way, God has a way of working, and sometimes it takes time. The Bible tells us, and it was so when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, that the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain that we may fight with the children of Ammon. They said, listen, here's what we want you to do. We'll put you in overhead of one of the families in our village. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, now he asked an honest question, did not ye hate me and expel me out of your father's house? Why are you come unto me now when you're in distress? That's a fair question. If I'd probably been Jephthah, I'd probably told them to go jump in the river, and you probably would have too. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Not only will they be captain over a family, they're going to make him the head over everybody in Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head. You see, he's wanting to make it very clear here. He has his friends here. He says, oh, listen to me. They gather around him. They come make this request. He's just wanting to be very clear because he don't want the same thing. When there's peace in the land and they look around and say, well, really, it's not Jephthah's doing that we've been delivered. And so they forget all the things he did. By the way, they forgot everything Gideon did. And then reject him again. He says, I want to make sure if I do this and you bring me back, that I'm not going to be treated the way I was treated before. And that's pretty fair in his evaluation. So you see this request. But I want you to notice the response. It was amazingly accepted. And you say, why was that amazing to you, Brother Grant? Because there's still something about me, if I was treated that way with somebody, by somebody, I would have a hard time not rejecting them. I would have a hard time ever having anything to do with them again. And you would too. But that's not Jephthah's response. You see, I've read a lot of critics about Jephthah. I've read several books and people say things about him. But I want to tell you one thing. If somebody had treated you that way, treated them that way, they wouldn't have been so godly in their response. He may not have been a perfect man, but I want to tell you what, I believe he was a man that knew the Lord. And the Bible tells us here that he looks to them and he accepts this offer. It amazes me, doesn't it? And so they said, the Lord be a witness between us if we do not according to thy words. And Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead and the people to make him head over the captain of them all. But not only that, notice, they made him captain over them all. It wasn't just they were going to give him a position. They're going to make him the leader in the land of Israel. He was advanced. But notice this acknowledgement that Jephthah makes here. And I'm talking about his response to this request. And the Bible says that Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. You know what he did? He got alone with God and he began to pray. He said, God, they're wanting me to be the one to deliver them. They want me to be the one that leads them into battle. But God, I understand that if this thing is going to be accomplished, it's going to have to be through you. Pretty wise man. He uttered the whole situation before God. And God listened and God heard. Now, you say, what are you saying to us? Well, I believe he understood that victory comes from God, and he understood that victory does not come through individuals. Listen, that's the problem with a lot of ministry and a lot of churches today. They think it's about their abilities, their organizational skills, their efforts. But the truth of the matter, if we have success in any part of the Christian life, it's because of our relationship to our God. Thirdly, I believe this, that God wants to display his glory through those that he's deemed unusable, that the world has deemed unusable. Some of my favorite verses is 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Turn there, and I want you to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now he says, not many wise, not many people that are mighty, not many people that are noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of this world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that what? That no flesh should glory in His presence. May I say to you, I believe the reason God uses who He uses often is because the world can't say, man, that what was accomplished was based upon their ability. Rather, it was based on what God could do. Jephthah understood this amazingly. Now, there's four lessons I'm giving that quick lessons. I want you to understand that God can use you in spite of your past. God can use you in spite of who your family was. God can use you in spite of your failures. I'm thankful tonight. I can stand here and say this. I'm thankful God can call me to preach. And if you'd seen the home that I was raised in, you'd thought that's not where preachers are coming from. But that's where God one day in His marvelous grace began to work in power in my life and in my heart. Not that I'm anything, but I want you to understand if God could do that in my life, He can do it in other people's lives. And He may just do it in the very ones that drive us crazy. Some of those football kids, I'd like to stand back and do this. I know Jonah's there. I just use him as an example. Pinch their little head off. And toss it. They may be the very ones that God calls into the ministry. It may not be one of the kids that we're rearing in Sunday school. It could be, because you've seen that happen here. But don't reject whom God might come along and do a mighty work in their life and their heart and change just to display His glory. Amen. And let me just say this secondly. I believe this, that God wants us to be valiant against our enemies in spite of our circumstances. Listen to me. He had every reason in the world to quit. He had every reason in the world not to fight against the enemies of the nation of Israel and the people of Gilead. He had every reason. Why? Because they had rejected Him. They left Him homeless. They left Him without a future. They left Him in shame. He felt like nothing when He fled from them. But yet He continued to engage the enemy. I don't care what our circumstances are in life. We're in a spiritual battle, and we can never cease. We're in a battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you realize that? And I don't care. You say, but you don't understand how I was raised. Jephthah didn't come from the best of circumstances. When people use that as an excuse, it really angers me. It really does. Because, number one, I want to say to you, God's grace is mightier than their failures. God's power is still able to change hearts. So people's gospel hardened. They might be gospel ignorant, but they're not gospel hardened because the gospel is still yet the power of God unto salvation. Jesus died for sinners, was buried, and rose again. That's the most powerful message we can deliver. It's not about how we present it, whether it's alliterated. It doesn't matter if we're the greatest presenter of that message. We have a responsibility to be a witness in this world. And God can do great things. We are still yet to read the Bible. We're still yet to serve. We're still yet to be faithful, regardless of how difficult life gets. The problem of it is circumstances are difficult. Guess what? People want to lay down. When they're favorable, I'll serve God. We'll use God like a spare tire. I got news for you. God's not a spare tire. God's not your reserve fund. He's not your insurance. God ought to be your everything. Thirdly, I want to say this, you can break the cycle of your family's unfaithfulness to God. And I know we're here on a Wednesday night, and I'm saying this, most of you have been going to church the biggest part of your life. Me, I've been going to church for 20 years. Some of you have been 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, been in church. That's good, but I want to tell you this, that there's a lot of people, they think that they can't get out of the cycle they're in. Boy, they can. Because somebody's dad's a drunkard don't mean they have to be a drunkard. Because their dad's a whoremonger don't mean they have to be a whoremonger. Because their dad don't pay their bills don't mean that they shouldn't pay their bills. Because their mama was something that is disgraceful don't mean that their daughters have to grow up to be disgraceful. Because their parents grew up with a bad reputation, that means they have to grow up with a bad reputation. You see, I want you to understand that that cycle can be broken. You say, how can it be done? The psychologists try to figure it out. They think it's going to be, we'll do it through school. We'll educate them some way. And they all the time try to get some program. And I'm all for educating, but I got news for you. Our children are not a social experiment. What we need today is the Bible back in the home and some parents to lead them the right way. But the truth of the matter, the gospel is what can set people free from their bondage.
Amen.
You know, there's the mentor program, and I'm all for going in and mentoring, but I tell you what some of these kids need. They need to be brought to church. Somebody preach the devil out of them.
Right.
Amen? Huh? You say, what are you saying? They don't have to continue that way. And I'm done with this one. When someone mistreats you, it doesn't give you the right to reject them. These people had rejected Jephthah. They mistreated him. They made him an outcast, a social outcast. And when it come time, he could have used this opportunity to really get at these people. But he didn't. You know what he did? He received their request, and he amazingly accepted it. You see, that tells me something. The grace of God, if the grace of God is in your life, what we should do, we should treat those who have mistreated us kindly. That's still Christian. That's still part of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what God has called us to do. Father, I thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for these lessons that are here. There's so much there. So much there. And I know that there's some failures in Jephthah's life. Maybe he was too harsh, and maybe he was too rash at some of the things that he promised. And I still struggle in my mind what exactly happened. But God, right here, I see a man that faced some struggles, faced some challenges, although not perfect, and although he come from a background, Lord, most people would have never reacted the way he did. Father, I'm thankful that you can straighten people's lives up. Regardless of their past, regardless of their failures, you are able to redeem them. And Father, what a message of redemption here. And I pray, God, tonight, if there be anyone here that's never been saved, I pray tonight will be the night that they repent and they believe the gospel. God, I can't save them. I can't force them. I can't make them. But God, tonight, if they're here and they hear the sound of your voice speaking tenderly to their heart, only they can come and repent and believe. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity of being here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand and sing.